First and foremost, want to check in with Aaron Katursky on the program. Morning, Aaron.
Good morning from Saint-Denis, which is just north of Paris. There have been police raids and an operation targeting the alleged mastermind of the Paris attacks going on all morning. Explosions, gunfire, and now the interior minister right here in front of me has just confirmed two people are dead, including a female suicide bomber who blew herself up during this police operation. It started at about 4:30 in the morning local time and just concluded now. And the interior minister confirms two dead, although it does not appear that they hit the target, the alleged mastermind of the Paris attacks, Abdelhamid Abaoud.
That was my next question to you. So Abdullah was not part of this particular raid, or he was not one of the victims, one of the two who blew themselves up.
He was the target of the raid.
Yeah.
He was the target, certainly, but they do not appear to have gotten him. We're still, I can't hear the interior minister. The scrum of the press is huge around him, but he is speaking now after an operation that lasted for a number of hours, 6 hours or so, and the entire town is pretty well sealed off with heavily armed police and soldiers deployed in the streets. Residents woken up by the sound of gunfire, but then not knowing exactly what was happening.
Boy, this is, it's unbelievable. And we talked about this yesterday, Aaron, the speed at which they were able to identify many of these attackers. I know they haven't found the mastermind yet, but the speed at which they were able to identify these suspects, go after them so quickly, literally less than a week, just days after the attack, and find who they were.
Well, it's quick police work, and yet the fact that they thought they had to look for the mastermind literally 12 minutes north of Paris seems to me like he slipped right under their nose. We don't know where he is now. At first, it was thought he had been in Syria, and if that's true, then somehow he was able to sneak into France and coordinate the attacks right where they started, at Stade de France, the big soccer stadium where the explosions began.
Aaron, we're going to let you go. I know you're right in the middle of everything. Thank you. We'll check in with you a bit later on.
Okay.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky, who is literally right in the middle of the melee and what's going on. The big news is this morning just happening in France that two suspects are dead after these police raids in coordinating last week's deadly attacks. France continues to move on. Yesterday, the Eiffel Tower was closed. It's reportedly going to be open today. Same with the Louvre. We'll keep you updated on that as well. And a big show of support, very symbolic yesterday. Prince William was going to Wembley as France played England in a big soccer match, a football match. So we're going to check in with Fred Weintraub, who is all things British, our British correspondent, who's over there and attended the game. So we'll check in with Fred.
Did you see the two teams joining in a chorus of Le Marseillais?
It was... You got chills listening to that, didn't you, Dave?
Absolutely.
It was beautiful. Yep. So Fred was at that game. Prince William was there. It was very symbolic. We're going to ask him what the mood was like in that stadium, although I'm sure, you know, hair-raising is going to be probably how he'll describe it. We'll talk to Fred right after Mary's traffic. It's 5:15 right now. Mary, what's going on with the roads? Five twenty in the morning, 720 WGN. This is the Steve Cochran Show. Steve's actually off today. Nick DiGilio will be in after the big story at 5:35 to kick off the rest of the program. Mary, your traffic was sponsored by Snyder Insurance and Financial Services, so we thank them for that. So as we were talking just before the break, Dave and I were chatting about the soccer game last night. The football game is France played England. Very symbolic. Prince William was at the game. So was Fred Weintraub. Morning, Fred.
Good morning to you, Andrea.
How symbolic was that, that Prince William was there? And talk about the ceremony where they all joined hands and they were singing together.
I think if you did not have goosebumps when they started singing, when everyone in the 70,000-plus stadium started singing the French national anthem, which was brought up on the screen so that English people that, who did not know the words would be able to sing along, when you heard that, you had to feel like the world was a united front. So pretty amazing feeling for everyone in the stadium. And then to see Prince William come out with flowers and place them at the pitch, knowing that he was clearly sending a message that the UK and France and other parts of the world would not be stopped by this terrorist attack, it really had a strong impact into everyone who was at the stadium.
Fred, sorry, I thought you cut out there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, goosebumps. Dave and I were talking about when they were playing the national anthem and everybody was singing along. You can hear the crowd just chanting along and singing along as well. It was beautiful. I know David Cameron has been at the forefront in trying to lead the attack against ISIS as well. Is the UK doing enough? I know the Prime Minister met with Parliament yesterday as well, earlier this week.
I think the journalistic answer is the UK is doing what David Cameron and the government hopes is enough to try to help against the terrorist fight. But behind the scenes, David Cameron is saying, no, we are not doing enough. And he is lobbying Parliament like he did yesterday to try to bring back another vote so that the government of the UK will go in and will bomb Syria. So it's all a process here. So the real answer to the question is no, David Cameron probably does not think his government is doing enough, and he's taking steps to see if he can turn the minds of his associates in Parliament, just as the President of the United States would try to go into Congress and do the same type of thing. The other interesting thing is, as you walked into Wembley Stadium last night and as you walked away, you saw huge amounts of security that you haven't seen since the 2012 Olympics. As I walked out of Wembley and I counted how many police officers had machine guns, there must have been 80 in the small area where I was. And the reports from the police this morning are their orders were, if there are any terrorist attacks or there's any problems, the order is shoot to kill. And you can't have left Wembley Stadium last night having not felt somewhat secure in the fact that the UK was doing the best they could to show that they will not be stopped, that the 70,000 people will be safe. Now, will they be safe? Are people who go to those kinds of stadiums safe? There's only so much that any government can do and any police force can do, but if the UK could show any type of united front and do it with extra security, they clearly did it last night.
I figured the security would be beefed up as well because it was at a football game or a soccer match. But do you feel safe? I mean, I know right now, I mean, you're a journalist as well. I mean, is it safe for reporters and journalists? I probably know the answer. It's probably a leading question. But do you feel safe?
The answer is, as a journalist, yes, I feel safe because, as you know, journalists kind of turn off their emotions when they have to and go into areas that that may not be safe or situations that may not be safe. As an average citizen or as an American walking around London, the answer is, yeah, I feel as safe in the UK as I do anywhere else in the world. That being said, and a great example is what's going on in Paris today, there are so many cells in so many neighborhoods, in so many countries around the world with things that are going on that are ISIS-related that intellectually you can't feel safe. But the human spirit suggests that, you know, we will go on and we have hope and we turn our back to a certain extent on what we don't know. So because this is hitting home for people in the UK and for people in the United States, because it's reasonably close to home. In other parts of the world, other bad things are happening, and people say, oh, that's happening over there, so we let it go. So the answer is yes. On a day-to-day basis, I feel safe, and I think Londoners will feel safe. When you talk to Parisians and you listen to the reports today, they're saying yes. They're feeling afraid that this has clearly been an international shock to the system, but that doesn't mean that they're not getting out. And you will see, or at least the appearance is, that every single day, more and more people are getting out. What will be interesting to note is how this will affect tourism going into the winter season and then into the summer season, and that's yet to be determined.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to have to watch for. Fred, thank you so much. Be safe, and we'll talk to you when you're back.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Love talking to you as always. That's Fred Weintraub, who is our British correspondent overseas. And he's based in Chicago, of course. He does a lot of work for You and Me in the Morning and with Melissa Foreman and Jeannie. But he's over there at the was at the game last night. So very moving to see that. So thank you for that report to Fred.